Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
I want us to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 25. And as we get there, I have been, over the past couple of months, really meditating on something here. And we partly experienced it this morning. So Matthew 25, and in just a few moments, we're going to pick up in verse 31. Jesus has actually gone through a series of parables. Those are lessons with morals and meanings that he's communicating to people. And you know, the disciples said, hey, listen, Jesus, why do you speak in riddles and parables? And he says, well, to you, the disciples, it's been given to know the truths and mysteries of the kingdom, but to others it has not, because hearing they will not hear and seeing they will not understand, which is hearkening back to a prophecy from Isaiah that the Lord is looking for those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. God, it's not that he doesn't want to be found. He just says this in Jeremiah 29, 13, and you will seek me and you will find me when you have searched for me with your whole heart. Are you really that hungry? Are you really that thirsty? Come and you'll be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants to be discovered. I rejoice, O Lord, over your word, like one who has found great treasure. But do we rejoice over the word? Are we seeking after the Lord as a treasure and a jewel, as something to be unearthed? Or are we just becoming fat, dumb, and happy and complacent in our Christianity? So that's not even the word I have for us today. But I was thinking through this. So this kind of brings me to this point. A few months ago, I was like, God, I'm just really experiencing a lot of your love. And I was like falling in love with Jesus all over again. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. I was falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. Pastor Will felt that on the front row right there, you know? And I was experiencing all this love again. Y'all remember what it's like to fall in love, whether with Jesus or with somebody else? It's that euphoric feeling. And I was so captivated by that feeling. I just began to pray. I'm like, God, this is the best thing ever. I'm loving this relationship. This is awesome. Like, we've just hit this place in our relationship, God. Like, man, haven't we climaxed, God? Isn't this awesome? And I was like, Lord, how do I get more of you? See, God knows what to do. I was kind of baited here, you know? I was like, I just want to get closer. I want to get closer to you, Lord. I love this feeling. And when you start praying that you want to be closer to the Lord, you got to expect you're probably going to get a different answer than you anticipated, because what I wanted was more feeling. I love the feeling of love. I love it. I wanted more feeling. And that's great. And listen, we're headed to a place where we don't need discipline and restraint. But right now on this earth, as we're carrying this earth suit, we need some discipline and restraint. Amen. And so the Lord actually began to bring me to something. I'm praying, God, how do I get closer to you? I just want to experience more of you. And you know, it's like when you pray for patience, you're going to get surrounded by sandpaper people so that you have to practice being patient. If you've never heard of a sandpaper person, it may be that you're actually the sandpaper person. Somebody who just rubs you a little bit the wrong way. And it's okay. You want to know why? Because we're going to smooth each other out. We're all sandpaper in some way. And we're going to smooth each other out. We're going to grind down those rough edges. So the Lord brought me. I'm saying, God, how do we get closer to you? And he brought me to this account, and I was completely taken aback. And it's a little bit of some reading here. So we're going to read together. I do believe that we should read our Bibles in church. Matthew 25, we're going to pick up in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. That's all the nations. And he will separate. Everyone say separate. He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Now, if you're like me, your brain should start turning and say, okay, how do I be a sheep? I need to make sure I'm a sheep. I'm seeing something pretty intense here. I want to make sure I'm falling on the right side. Verse 34, and the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger or naked and take you in? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren. You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. You need to mark that up, and you need to make that scream in your Bible. Jesus doesn't just make a distinction between the least of these. He says, one of the least of these, my brethren. I was crying out and wanting to be closer to the Lord. I want to be more in that place of euphoric feeling and presence. And the Lord is saying, where are the least of these? Because that's where I am. I'm right where the least of these are. And maybe the least of these aren't everyone you're thinking about. He does give a list here. But I want you to see this. You did unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. I just want to let that sink for a few moments. You did it for me. Can I just say this, that our God is the best record keeper ever. Nobody knows. Listen, if you're looking for a pat on the back on this earth, you might as well just pat your shoulder. Just pat yourself on the back. Nobody knows all the things that you have done to impact lives for Jesus other than the greatest record keeper ever. He knows. He knows what you have done, and he will reward you faithfully when you get there. It's not time right now to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, unless you've crossed over. Right now is the season of work and discipline and obedience. Doesn't that sound awesome? Yeah. No, but it's proving something. Paul says that I'm convinced that this temporary light affliction is producing for us a far more an exceeding weight of glory. If I'm living for now, then I'm totally missing it. I'm living to be in his presence and to hear. Listen, of all the ups and downs of my life, of all the things that I've been through, the only thing at this season of my life, at this 40th year that actually matters is I just want to hear those words. Well done. That's all I'm looking forward to. I don't care what you could give me on this earth, and I'm not being pretentious or facetious. I don't care what you could give me. All I want to hear is well done. Well done. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're longing for. But that means that we have to work hard right now. We got to put our hand to the plow right now. There's a great reward that's coming. So Jesus says the first group that I'm going to separate are those who did unto the least of these. And we're going to get through some things this morning. But I want you to see this here. Then he will also say, verse 41, to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed. Okay, make the understanding of the comparison and contrast here. To those who are sheep, he says, those of you who are blessed of my Father. To those who are the goats, he says, those of you who are cursed. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And just in case you were wondering if hell is going to be a party, hell was never created for mankind. It was only created for the devil and his angels. And it ain't fun there, and it ain't going to be fun in the lake of fire. No, no, no. I don't care what anybody tells you. Amen. Depart from me. Verse 42, I was hungry and you gave me no food. Now, I'm going to stretch your thinking a little bit here because you're going to want to go right to all these basic needs. You're going to want to be like, okay, so if I want to be closer to the Lord and the Lord is among the least of these, I got to make sure that I feed the hungry, give those who are thirsty drink, clothe the naked, go to prisons. And all we've done is what we're really good at is making lists of how to be good Christians for the Lord. That's all we've done. If we catch the heart of the Father here, He's talking about those who are hungry and thirsty, talking about those who may not be in a physical prison. Yeah, they may be in a physical prison, but how about some people in your very house who are imprisoned with fear and anxiety, imprisoned under guilt and shame? And because we're so stuck in our own mess, even though we've been given the answer, we can't help break them free. We're not available. He says, depart from me, those of you who are cursed. Verse 42, I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him and say, okay, catch this. Lord, when did we see you? Because nobody would turn away Jesus. No, if I see the Lord, no, then I'll do it. If I really know it's him, I'll do it. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? How could it far be it from us, Lord? We would always take care of you. And he will answer them and say, assuredly, I say, inasmuch as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I know that it may feel like it's getting pretty heavy in the room this morning, but we're turning a page and going into a brand new year. And I told you where I started. Let me just finish the passage here. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Listen, I love when we have times of worship like we did this morning, and I love to get into his presence. We all do. We all love that amazing feeling of being in his presence. But guess what? That is where we're headed, and that is what we can have in our intimate times with the Lord. But it doesn't remove us from the work that we're called to right here and now. See, I know that there are some ideas like, okay, if we could just reach a higher state of enlightenment and we could just be quiet in a monastery and just be in that presence all day. That's not the real world right now. The real world is hungry and thirsty. The real world is broken and lost and naked. The real world is a foreigner. And they've got nobody to care for them but you and me. We have the Almighty God living on the inside of us. We've got everything we need. And as I was praying into this, and I thought it was just for me, I'm like, God, I want more. I want to be closer to you. And I felt the Lord just smack me between the eyes with this passage and said, you want to get closer to me? Get closer to the least of these. Find the least of these. Find the least of these. And so what did I do? Deductive logic, right? I went right into my mind. Okay, yep. Okay, so that means I got to feed the hungry more. Just like I told you, I got to make that list. And it took about 3 months, and the Lord was working on me for 3 months over this passage, and he began to show me something. And I want to map it out with you this morning. What's the difference in this passage between the sheep and the goats, or the sheep and the goats? The scripture, Jesus himself said, referring to the sheep, that they were blessed of the Father. Why were they blessed of the Father? Does God have favorites? Does God like some and despise others? No. It's that they had captured the heart of the Father. That's why they were blessed by the Father. They had captured his heart. You see, when we think about capturing his heart, we go right to that place that I was talking about. We want to be alone with the Lord. But when Jesus was on the earth, yeah, he withdrew at certain times, early in the morning or when things were getting tough. He withdrew and went alone with the Lord. But daily you could find him preaching and teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing good to all people. So the difference here between the sheep and the goats is that the sheep had captured the heart of the Father, and the goats couldn't have cared less. Why? Well, Jesus already told us about the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite walked right by the person who was in need. They were the ones who understood the law. They were the ones who were truly supposed to know God and look for his coming. But they missed the heart of the Father. And this is us in the church today. We love what God does for us. That's why I said fat, dumb, and happy. If Satan couldn't keep you coming into God's kingdom, he will keep you just kind of getting on that fat supply right here. Let's go to church and get a good word. Let's get into the worship and have some awesome worship. But what about the call that God has placed on our life to care for those who are in need? The least of these, his brethren. The least of these. So I believe as we're turning the page and the chapter of 24 is ending, I guess for you it will go this way. The chapter of 24 is ending. As 25 begins, I believe that if we want to draw closer to the Lord, we have to get out of ourselves and begin serving in a greater capacity and living like Christ more so than we ever have before in our lives. See, closeness to God could also be translated as spiritual maturity. Because if you really want to get close to God, you got to mature in some areas of your life. So here we're going to walk this out a little bit. I have three things. I don't know why there's always points when you're preaching. I don't really want 3 points, but whatever. It's fine. God wants 3 points. So did you just say, does he? I don't know. It's what I got. Capturing the heart of God the Father. Simply getting closer to him requires obedience, discipline, and love in action. Amen. Wow. Obedience, discipline, and love in action. And over the next 20 minutes or so, that's what we're going to dive into. Because I was studying through this passage and I was seeing, oh my goodness, these disciples, they're blessed of the Lord because they had captured the heart of the Father. And the only way that they could have captured the heart of the Father is to actually be obedient to his word, to live in a way that is disciplined to accomplish his goal, and to love because God is love. Amen. It's right there. God so loved the goody two shoes that he gave his one and only son. No, God so loved the world. For when we were weak and without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. The ungodly. Not the goodies. Yeah, he died for the goodies too. But the ungodly. Those who cursed God to his face and said, forget you. He died for them. And he calls them the least of these, his brethren. So the first thing is obedience. And I want to just ask you this question this morning. When the Lord speaks to you through his word, how quick are you to obey? Or when you're in your prayer time, in your prayer closet, and the Lord speaks, how quick are you to respond? Because the Lord is looking for us as disciples of Jesus to obey his word. How many of us just flat out ignore the word of God when he's giving it to us? God is going to speak to us in a couple of different ways. And the first way he's going to speak to us is through his word. So one day when I was radically transformed at 18 years old, I was saved when I was 5 years old, but I was living a life of rebellion for a period of time. And when I was radically transformed at 18 years old, I just started to read the scripture. I just started to devour the word. Nobody told me what to do or how to do it. I was raised this way. I just began to devour the word, devour the word. And as I was reading the word one day, I came across Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus himself says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. And I began to shake, literally convulse, right there. I began to shake because I had so much hatred in my heart. I actually had murder in my heart. I had vowed to murder one individual. I had so much murder and hatred in my heart. And as the Lord, as I'm reading these passages, because I want to follow the Lord, I want to get closer to him. And so as I'm getting closer to him, this flesh and this soul is convulsing because I've been in control all these years, but now I hit the word and I've got to learn to be obedient to what God is saying to me through his word. And I'm convulsing and I'm shaking and I'm like, I can't do this, God. I cannot forgive this person. I can't do it. There's no way possible. So, you know, I'm just like, I had finished my workout and I just went into the shower and poof, the Lord just laid me out flat in the shower. And I'm like, no! And I'm like weeping and I couldn't let go. Obedience requires us to let go of the thing that we're holding on to. And God wasn't trying to destroy my life. God was trying to free me. Free me! See, obedience starts when I read the word and I find something uncomfortable I don't want to do. So what do? We do one of two things. We either talk ourselves out of it or we close the word and we come back another day and hope that the scripture is more encouraging and uplifting. Because I didn't need that today. I did not need that today, Lord. That must not have been the right devotion for today. What I needed, Lord, you knew it. I needed something different. But when we're after the heart of the Father, he's gonna teach us how to get his heart, and it's not gonna be the way that we've come up with. So I agreed. I agreed, because I couldn't stop shaking. I agreed. I said, okay, I'll forgive this person. So I called up this individual. I swore that I was gonna murder this person. And I would just sit for hours and meditate on how I was gonna do it. I didn't know it sounds funny, and I'm glad you're laughing, but I was quite serious. That's how much murder was in my heart. And so the Lord dealt with me. So I called up the individual, and I said, hey, listen, meet me at the mall. I needed a public place, okay? So sometimes you gotta have practical wisdom here. I needed a public place. Meet me at the mall, we're gonna talk. So we went for a walk through the old Emerald Square Mall. I know, just went for a walk in that concourse where I used to work. And I said, listen, I'm gonna forgive you. Doesn't mean that I like you, doesn't mean I have to be your friend, but God says I have to forgive you. I don't know if this guy knew God from Adam, but I said, I have to forgive you, and I'm gonna forgive you. I'm not saying I wanna be friends, you don't need to text, you don't need to call, but I forgive you. And I didn't even realize what was beginning to happen in my life, that the Lord was actually setting a course and introducing me to the way that he lives. Because Jesus, who was being murdered, his words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And one of the secret sauces to forgiveness is that people, if they actually knew, if you could pull back the curtain in the natural and see what's happening to others in the spirit, we would never hurt each other the way that we do. That's how Jesus could say, Father, forgive them. They don't really know. Of course they do. They're crucifying you. No, they don't really know what they're doing. And the scripture confirms it later on because it says, had they known that they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they would have never done it. So the Lord was teaching me how to be obedient. Can I just tell you something about Jesus? Jesus is our model for everything. He's our model for following. He's our model for leadership. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says that Jesus, though he was a son, and he wasn't just a son, he was the Son of God. Though he was a son, he learned obedience. Can you just like scratch your head on that one right there? Why does Jesus have to learn obedience? Because he was wearing an earth suit like you and me. Jesus learned obedience. And does anybody know how Hebrews 5:8 continues? Some of you do. He learned obedience through the, thank you, Pastor John, through the things he suffered. Jesus, check your Bible, don't take my word for it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. That means that this flesh and this soul is gonna have to learn obedience the very same way. Through the things that I'm suffering, through the things that I'm going through. It was suffering a loss. I had to suffer a loss to let go of that vengeance for that individual. But through that, I learned obedience to God. I couldn't understand. My parents couldn't understand. Nobody could understand why this kid who was raised in church was filled with such rage. But God knew. God knew, and he knew exactly how he was gonna work it out. So my question for us all today is, how quick are we, when we hit the word and we find a passage we don't like, how quick are we to submit to what the Lord is trying to say to us and just obey? Just obey. First and foremost, God's never gonna call you to do anything that's contrary to his word, okay? So just don't get weird. People say weird stuff. I'm like, no, go back and read your Bible. God didn't tell you to do that. That's stupid. God would never say that. Okay, read your word. Read your word. Now, God may call you to do some crazy things sometimes. That's the truth, but you'll find a model for it in the scripture. When the Lord said to me at 18, sell everything and go, my model was Abraham. Get out from the land of your fathers to the land that I will show you. There's always a model for what the Lord is calling us to do. He doesn't ask us to do demonic things. He doesn't ask us to do evil things like hurt people. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And some people got some goofy ideas. God told me this and God told me that. Find it in the Word. Find your balance in the Word. So I'm asking how quick we will turn around and obey the Lord, even when it sounds weird. So the other morning, the other night, it was Christmas night, we were going to bed, and I was really wrestling. I've been wrestling through something. And I'm like, God, I need an answer on this. I need an answer. And God knows, there are very, very, very few times where I demand an answer from the Lord because I'm not God. I can't guarantee he's gonna give it to me, right? But I was like, God, I'm going to bed, and tonight I wanna know, just wanna know. Need you to tell me. I'm like pleading on Christmas night because I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this, and I know there's an answer in him. So I'm seeking the answer from him. So I went to bed and I had this supernatural dream. And somewhere in between the dream and waking up in the spirit, I'm kind of mad. I'm like, that didn't answer my question, God. That is not what I'm, it did answer my question. But it's not the way that I thought it would be. And the Lord began to show me some things that needed to take place. We're talking about obedience here. So I wake up and I say, Jen, this is gonna be crazy. But Jen's been following me for 21 years. Her whole life has been filled with crazy and Kurt. We're always doing something wild. Kurt and crazy. You had no idea what you were doing when you said yes. But she's followed me through thick and thin, so this was really easy. So I said, Jen, I feel like there's some things we need to deal with here in our house, and we're supposed to go to the bathroom and sing this song to the shower. You were all with me for a minute. Now I'm crazy. So we have lived in multiple places, and in every place we have lived, we've experienced and encountered some different things, and the Lord has spoken to us about how to deal with those things in every situation. And she confirmed it because she said, Kurt, I was sensing that something was attached to the water. We need to deal with this. And we've been walking with the Lord for a long time. We're just like, okay, I got my guitar. Now, there were four other people in the house who thought we were absolutely insane. But it doesn't matter. We're following the Lord. So we went to the bathroom. We just began to sing that song right over the shower. And we're dealing with whatever spiritual activity was trying to inhabit that place. And here's the thing. I asked the Lord for an answer. He gave me an answer. He showed me exactly where to go and what to do. And I had plenty of history for this. The Lord had already shown us in multiple situations, hey, there's some spiritual stuff going on here and you need to go deal with it. You can actually deliver it and set it free. So go and do it. So we did. And we follow him. And it doesn't matter how crazy it sounds. We're following him. Now, I give you a real practical example like forgiveness, and I give you a real out-of-the-box example like praying over the shower and the water. So listen, follow the Lord. Obey him. Whatever he's saying. How about, is he getting hot here? Because I'm kind of getting hot. I got this shirt on. That's right. Guys, this is my birthday gift right here. This is like my favorite shirt. Jesus is talking to the superheroes, and he says, and that's how I saved the world. Come on, that's like the best thing ever. I was like asking my wife and kids for this shirt for Christmas. I'm so excited. I love it. It's a great shirt. So, what was I saying exactly? Forget about singing in the shower, it's over. Following the Lord, being obedient. Oh, that's right, thank you, Lord, you're so faithful. How many times, because the Lord will speak to us through his word, but we're also spiritual beings. Isn't that what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4? For God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. We're spiritual beings. Okay? And so the Lord's gonna speak to us through his word. He's also gonna speak to us through his spirit. And how about those times when we're driving down the road and the Lord is like, you need to pull over and go talk to that person. You just need to tell them, I love them. And we're like, nah, that's not the Lord. That was totally lunch. I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. You see, we all want to be used, or many, some people have tapered off and they don't care anymore, but many people want to be used for the big things. Many of us want to be used for the big things in God. I want to heal the sick and I want to raise the dead. But we won't go across the street and we won't park the car and we won't go into the Cumbies when the Lord says, go tell that person I love them and I see them. I see them. We are his vessels. We are ambassadors for Christ, imploring the world to be reconciled to a God who has already paid the price. When we're looking at the girl working at Dunkies and her arms are all cut up because she doesn't have any hope, and you have Jesus inside of you, and you can look her in the eye and say, listen, God loves you. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. Give me the blue raspberry culotta. God loves you. He loves you. Guys, yes, it's great to be in the Spirit, and it's great to experience the euphoria here on earth, but he is in the weak. He is near to the brokenhearted, so we have to get near to them. We have to get a little closer. So we're talking about obedience. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So the old preachers would say it like this: if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. And if Jesus had to learn obedience through the things he suffered, then sign me up, Lord. I'm gonna learn obedience through the things that I suffer. All right? I'm gonna follow you. And I'm not calling down all sorts of crazy things. I don't do that. But I'm saying, in this world, you will have tribulation. Period. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Okay? We are going to experience trial. And it's in that trial that we learn to be obedient. Now, we can't endure and be obedient if we haven't implemented disciplines in our life. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we hear discipline, if you're like me, for the better part of my life, I would say 35 years, my parents can attest to this, for 35 years, I ran from discipline because I felt like it was a four-letter word. It was going to hurt me. I always equated discipline with punishment. Always. Does discipline sometimes have correction and punishment in it? Yes. But is all discipline punishment? No. Paul says, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified. So I want us to broaden our scope and horizon of discipline this morning, and I want us to see that disciplines are required for living an ordered life. If I don't have the discipline of reading the word, how am I going to know what the heart of the Father is? See, no man has ever seen God at any time, but Jesus, who is in the presence of the Father, he has declared him. So the only way that I'm going to know what the heart of the Father is to study the man Jesus, because Jesus was the only one who had full authority to declare the heart of the Father to everyone. Jesus. That's why there's four Gospels, because it takes multiple times to get it through our thick skull how good God is, how awesome he is. Disciplines are required. I want to look at four different disciplines this morning. Two that will never leave the Christian's life, and two that you're going to probably not like, and that's okay. Bible reading and prayer. I don't care how basic it is, and I don't care how far along we are in the 21st century, and how smart we are as Christians in the 21st century, Bible reading and prayer are the staple to our life, two disciplines that should never leave. You should have a discipline of reading the word. We should, thank you for that amen back there. We should have a discipline of reading the word. Can I tell you something? If we don't know the word, we're not going to know the character and nature of God, and we're not going to know when something is off. Okay, so we're all worried about false doctrine. Okay, don't study all the false doctrines. Study your word. Just study your word. Be diligent to show yourself approved, is what Paul wrote to Timothy. Be diligent to study the word and show yourself approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the responsibility to all believers. The word must be a disciplined practice in our life. I must wake up and command my day with the word. Because if I live by this flesh, I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, along with the word, God is spirit, I need to pray. I know this sounds so basic, but I am telling you, how many people, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people do not have a disciplined practice of prayer and Bible reading? So many believers do not have a disciplined practice of prayer and Bible reading. So when I pray, God wants to reveal things to me that I don't know. He wants to reveal secrets and mysteries. And you will seek me and you will find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Scour the scriptures, get on your face, pray and plead with the Lord, talk to the Lord. There's multiple ways to pray. Pray in the car while you're driving, pray as you're working out, pray as you go on your walk, pray as you go throughout the day, pray always in the spirit. Start your day on your knees. Guys, I'm telling you, the greats of the old days, they knew the basics. They didn't escape them. They just kept at it. Bible reading and prayer, disciplines. And everybody's good with me right here, but there are two more that most of us aren't going to really appreciate. And the second one, the third one, so we got Bible reading, we've got prayer, and the third one, so all right, Michelle, you're going to be all right. It's good, good. The third one is being selfless. Selfless. We started with the passage of Jesus talking about going to the least of these. If I'm consumed with me in a self-absorbed world, if I'm completely consumed with me in a self-absorbed world, I'm never available to see the least of these around me. Maybe the least of these in my very own house. Maybe the least of these in my very own workplace. Maybe the least of these in my very own church because I'm so consumed with me. The scripture teaches us in Philippians chapter 2 that as followers of Christ, we ought to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is this: Jesus, although he was equal with God, did not consider his equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant and a bondservant and was obedient to the point of death. So what the scripture teaches us in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 3 is that we are not to be self-absorbed, but Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, we are to look out for the interests of others, not only our own interests. Looking out, let nothing, here we go, thank you, Lord, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of everyone among you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The scripture teaches us how to be like Christ. And to be like Christ, we have to be selfless. So that's the third one that's a little bit hard. Here's the fourth one that's the hardest, okay? We're talking about discipline. The fourth one is this. Be teachable. Better said, receive correction. Receive correction. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, do I have a teachable spirit or do I know it all? Do I have a teachable spirit? Because I can have all the Bible reading and prayer in the world. I can be a selfless person, but am I a teachable person? I need to learn to receive correction. I told you, I'm 40. I just turned 40. For 35 years, I ran from correction. 35 years, I ran from correction. Rebellion was bound up in my heart because I was going to do it my way. Because I didn't know what Hebrews chapter 12 says, that God disciplines those whom he loves. And while no discipline and correction feels good at the time, if you yield to it, it'll produce a peaceable fruit of righteousness. I didn't realize that. Oh, I should just start receiving correction. Hello. So I came to this church after running from and being rebellious to my parents my whole life and being rebellious to other leaders my whole life. And it wasn't all that bad. I knew in my heart, I was a rebellious person. I was going to do it Kurt's way. And I come to this church several years ago, and I love it. I love it. It's been awesome. It's Pastor John, Pastor Zach, my peers. All the elders have had an opportunity to correct me. It's been great. It's been great. So one time, Randy says to me, Randy and I were meeting in the old prayer room over there, and I just tell him my story, and I'm pouring out my heart, pouring out my guts, and I'm like, he just looks at me and says, Kurt, you're offended. And you know what? I was offended that he said that. Like, Randy, you're right. Oh, man, why? Why? Yeah, I'm offended. So I needed to hear that correction, and then he gave me the passage of Scripture to go and do right and to not walk in that offense anymore. One day, Ron, another one of our elders, told you, every one of the elders have had an opportunity to correct me, and it's been the best thing. It's been so good because now I know. Oh, my goodness. Correction makes you better. Wow. I should have listened a long time ago, right, Mom and Dad? Wow. Who would have thought? God knows what he's doing. Man, you know, we're so smart in the 21st century. So Ron says to me last year or the year before, pulls me aside and says, Kurt, remember when nobody was around last week? You were like, the senior leader in the office, there wasn't anybody else here, and you were, the buck stopped with you. I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you remember that incident that took place? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you were wrong. You shouldn't have done it that way, and you actually should have done it this way. And because I had already been taught not to be offended, I listened, and I received. I repented, and I turned around and said, Lord, I'm going to receive this correction. Help me to do it better next time. See, now I'm learning. I want to experience closeness with God. But closeness with God is going to require obedience. Closeness with God is going to require discipline. I'm going to have to live a disciplined life if I want to be close to Jesus, because Jesus lived a disciplined life. Do you know how disciplined Jesus' life was? Jesus says this, I speak nothing of my own accord. Whatever the Father says, I say. And whatever the Father does, I do. That's how disciplined Jesus was. I ought to have the disciplines of the Lord in my life if I want to walk closely to him. And finally, if I truly want to be like Jesus, if I truly want to be closer to the Lord, my love has to have action to it. I have to love in action, which is everything Jesus is communicating here in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, that there must be some action with your love. Galatians 6, Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, 9, don't grow weary in well-doing, for at the right time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't lose heart. He goes on to say that we should always look for an opportunity to do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Always look for an opportunity to do good to everyone. There's another passage here. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to because I can't pull it up at the moment. 1 John chapter 3. John says this. This is where it's at right here. Everybody say love in action. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. There ought to be some corresponding action to my love. Jesus has given us multiple groups of people to love. He said, in the old days, you heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, you should love your enemy. How hard is that one? Love your enemy. The closer you get to Jesus, the little enemies you begin to have, because you have to love them. Yeah. Love your enemies, love your neighbor, love one another. Love your enemies, love your neighbor, love one another. one of the lawyers came to Jesus, and Jesus he said, "Hey, Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Because I get it. I get the commandments. All the commandments, they boil down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Right? Everybody gets it. The lawyer says, "We get it, Lord. We get it." And he wants to justify himself. He says, "Okay, Lord, who's my neighbor?" So Jesus tells the story of a Samaritan, tells the story of a priest and a Levite who were supposed to be the ones who knew how to follow God. But the Samaritan, the despised, rejected person, was the only one who truly loved in action, like the heart of the Father. Who are your neighbors? Who are the least of these? As I was praying through this message, as I was praying through my own life, the Lord brought me to my own children, the least of these in my own household. Am I a present enough father? Or am I so consumed with the things that I'm doing? The least of these are around me all the time. I don't even have to leave my own house. Are there people imprisoned in my house? Are there people imprisoned in your house? Are there people starving, hungry, and thirsty in your house because you have love, but you don't know how to give it? Who are the least of these? As we move into this year, we can't be like the priest and the Levite walking by the least of these anymore. We have to be like the Samaritan who stops, gives of his own resources, and pays extra. It's gonna cost us a little extra, but it costs Jesus everything. Amen. It's gonna cost me a little extra to be obedient, disciplined, and love in action. Can you stand to your feet today? Because I wanna close with three questions, and I really want us to take a pause this morning. We've got 2 minutes to do so, and that's great. Three questions for us as we close this morning. Where have I not been obedient? I want you to close your eyes, and I'd like you to just put your hands out here, you know, right about waist high or so. We're gonna receive from the Lord this morning. Three questions I want us to ask as we close this year and begin a new one. Where have I not been obedient? What disciplines have I forsaken? And who and where are the least of these in my life? Father, we just look to you right now as we're posed with this question, or all of these questions. Where have I not been obedient, Lord? Do I keep driving by that person that you're asking me to stop? What disciplines have I forsaken in my life? Who and where, Lord, are the least of these, your brethren, that I'm walking by, driving by, leaving? Father, we just look to you this morning, and we thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you're not mad at us, that there's nothing that you're looking at us and looking down on us for. You love us. And I know it took a long time for me to understand that you correct those whom you love, and you will scourge every son that you bring close. And so if I want to come close to you, I need to submit to correction. If I want to come close to you, I need to submit to your scourging, Father, because you will not abandon me. You correct me because you love me.
I'm laying down my life, I'm giving up control, I'm never looking back, I surrender all, I'm living for your glory. giving up control. I'm never looking back. Lord, I surrender all. I'm living for your glory on the earth.
For the sake.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul, for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
Passion.
This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow. Lord, I surrender all. I'm living for your glory on the earth.
We're going to sing that again, this passion.
Passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory on the earth.
For the sake of the world,
for the sake of the world, burn like a fire. For every knee to bow down, for every heart to believe, every voice to cry out, burn like a fire in me. For every tongue to confess, you alone are the King, you're the hope of the
our heart's cry, that as we come into this brand new year, that it wouldn't be about a list of things to do to please you, but that we would capture your heart, that we would capture the heart of the Father. And I know it's going to come through obedience and discipline and learning to love in action, but Father, as we put these things into practice in our life, let us become more and more like you. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.